Salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Hello and welcome to episode 43 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 9th of June 2010. And you can hear a very different piece of music in the background, one we haven't used before, and all will become a little bit clearer in the new section of the show. But what have we got for you on this edition of the show then? Well, we've got our usual news and rumours, of which myself, Juz and Craig are going to bring you. And then it is a welcome return for our Round the World in 80 segments, where we look at the rides, shows and attractions found within Fantasyland in the Magic Kingdom. So there you go, two sections for the show for this week. So I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the news and rumours for this edition of the show.
I'm Orlando.
Oh, man. You can tell that they're both just going to be very silly this evening. Welcome to the news and rumours for this edition of the show, where, for some strange reason, Juz and Craig seem to just want to sing the Go Compare theme tune. Admittedly, they both have large moustaches and are about as fat as the opera singer is in the advert, so it works quite well. are you all right, guys? Right, so hello, Juz.
That's bullying and harassment in the workplace. Craig, my lawyer, sue him.
I will do, but he's not worth anything.
Oh. Hiya, hello Disney Bob people.
And hello Craig.
Hello everyone, hope you're all well.
Even though you spoke before you were introduced, you know they're not the rules. Okay, let's head into, well, before we head into Walt Disney World, we've got one piece of Disney Brit news, of which if you... What are you doing?
Not the rules.
Oh, man. A little bit of Disney Brit news. For those of you who came to the live chat last night, I was recording this on a Monday.
We apologise.
We apologise to start.
Yeah, I was trying to watch the football.
Yeah, Craig was so into it. He was watching the football, giving us football updates while we were trying to talk Disney on the live chat. But there you go. Simon Price, who is a listener of the show, a good friend of the show, has written a brand new theme tune for us. And if you were at the live chat last night, you will have heard this brand new theme tune already. And if you weren't there, you won't have heard it yet. So what we're going to do to start off with today, to begin the news, is we're going to play you our brand new theme tune, which was written by Simon Price. He has asked us to also say a big thank you to Graham Haynes, who helped him record, produce and mix it. Says he couldn't have done it without him, but I think it's a fantastic song, but rather than say anything else, we'll play that for you now.
In the sky, there's so much to do, and I'm having fun, cause I'm here with you, it's true, I'm on holiday too. Look over there, up in the sky, the castle looks great as big. especially at night, it's true. I'm on holiday too. It's so amazing the things we're seeing. And I feel like I wanna stay. It's so fantastic. You never passed it. To have a blast on this holiday. Look over there, all of the rides. Mother won't get on, it turns her inside it too. I hear the kids all making a noise. In every shop they want every toy, it's true. I'm on holiday too. It's so amazing the things we're seeing. And I feel like I wanna stay. So fantastic, you never passed it. To have a blast on this holiday. Open the door into the sun. A few more minutes till we're having fun. Catch the ferry or the monorail. Through the turnstiles to live the tale. The sun's in the sky, there's so much to do. And I'm having fun, cause I'm here with you, it's true. I'm on holiday too. When it comes to time when go home, take me this memory so we're never alone. It's true, we'll be back again soon. And yes, it's true, I'll be on holiday too.
There you go, there's our brand new theme tune. It seemed to go really well on the chat last night. Everyone seemed to really, really like it, didn't they?
I don't know, I was watching a film and I could only hear the chat.
Well, yeah, it's going well. Jazz, I've got to send you a check. I've sold 500 copies of it already.
Woohoo!
There you go. But no, it's a pretty decent song, I reckon.
Pretty decent. It's brilliant. Simon, it's fantastic. You're an absolute star. Thank you very much. I love it. Everyone I've played it to loves it. I even had it on today blaring out. So I really do like it. So thank you very much.
I must admit, I have had it on a few times. Just playing it.
Well, you owe me royalties for it now because I'm collecting. Both of you.
Okay, anyway, shall we move into some Walt Disney World news? We've already kept these people waking long enough. Waking or waiting. Don't I've had a long day.
No one's waking when you're talking.
Right, good night, bye. Summer Nightastic began last Sunday, and as part of we've got some more information about all of the different things that are going on as part of that event. So we thought we'd recap all of those bits and pieces for you. Starting off in the Magic Kingdom then with the Main Street Electrical Parade. It has now begun at the Magic Kingdom. Early reports have said that the music is still pretty much in the same vein as the original, although they have updated and incorporated some of the changes that have come to the parade, including the new Pixie Hollow and Tinkerbell Float at the front. It's also been reported that the music is now a tone lower than it was originally, so it's in a lower key than it was before. But although the parade is still entitled Main Street Electrical Parade, the large drum at the front still reads Disney... Disney's Electrical Parade, just as it did at Disney's California Adventure. So that hasn't changed at all. The Summer Nightastic Fireworks Spectacular has kicked off in spectacular fashion and is basically a reworking of the popular Pirate and Princess Party, Magic, Music and Mayhem. fireworks show. People have been really, really pleased to see it. Again, really, really good reports about the actual fireworks show itself. It is a perimeter fireworks show, so it goes on a lot, lot further. You apparently need to stand a good way down Main Street, USA, to see a really good angle of it. But in recent interviews, Imagineers have commented on how they felt the fireworks show had only really been seen by a limited number of people. Then they said something like how it was off Broadway and now it is on Broadway because it's now going to be shown to such a much larger crowd of people. Had either of you seen the Magic, Music and Mayhem fireworks before?
No.
No. Although, yeah, no.
Oh. Though I have got them to see. I have got a podcast with them on to watch.
And we were speaking to one over the weekend who said he thought just the Princess and Party ones.
Hmm. Oh, okay. Well, it's apparently got the perimeter fireworks. It's also got fireworks and things that happen. There's one point apparently where the pirates attack the castle with fireworks. I don't really know anymore. They didn't really want to watch it. They have apparently also removed the King Triton part of it as well. Twilight Zone Tower of Terror sounded quite interesting. But apparently, from what we understand, has been a bit of a letdown. There's a brand new drop profile that has gone in. They reckon this could possibly be the scariest one by far for the fact that it now uses the maximum drop height for nearly the entire ride. It's close to the first two profiles that they had sort of way back in the 90s. But the amount of time spent in the drop shaft is pretty similar to what it has been for all of the different four versions they've created. Although this time they are dropping you a lot more from the top. Right down to the bottom. It will be the only profile running day and night as part of the summer Nightastic. The differences are, firstly, if you go during the night, they've added a new green eerie light that comes out into the skies at night every time the doors open. Also, and this is the one that seems to have caused a huge amount of controversy, is that the fifth dimension scene has been completely covered up and they put black curtains on either side to create this starfield effect and got rid of all the fifth dimension elements. They've changed some of the lighting and some of the sound effects in there as well, but apparently you've really got to know the ride well to notice what a lot of these are. But now as you go into the fifth dimension, your vehicle moves forward. And on the sort of doors to the shaft, there is an image that's projected of everyone in the elevator that was taken earlier. When you go up to one of the doors and it opens, there's now a flash of lightning, supposedly. But this is where they take this ride photo. And they put this photo on the doors of the lift shaft. And then it gradually makes you disappear and turn into an empty shaft. The doors open, you go in, and that's when you drop up and down. There is some new music that's just been added to the drops as well. Think old-style screechy violin horror music, and apparently that's now going to be played just before you take your first drop. But the Rod Serling narration has been removed from the top of the shaft. And that's all the bits and pieces that have come. People have said it's cool. Some people are really not happy with it at all. For the fifth dimension is one of the coolest part of the attractions, and they've got rid of it completely.
I love the ride and they can do what they like with it and I still love it, but I'm surprised the fifth dimension stuff has been covered up. And the ride where you got a picture of you doesn't happen in France anyway when you decompose and disappear. Isn't that in the French version? Taken that from there.
First doors that open, you go in front of a mirror and it turns you into ghosts.
Yeah, which they sort of taken that concept, but I love it. I don't care what they do with it, but I was quite shocked that the fifth dimension stuff has been covered up. I'm not really quite sure what, it was a great part of it, why they've taken it off.
It's a really bizarre idea, doesn't it, to have got rid of all of that and updating some of the bits and pieces and leaving that. I don't understand it. It's a bit strange. Last two things to bring to you. The Rock and Glow Dance Party, we've already talked about Hollywood Studios, where Mulch, Sweat and Shears are going to be performing along with a DJ. That's happening, I think it's Tuesdays and Thursdays and Sundays, between about 7:30 and 10:30 on that stage in front of Sorcerer Mickey's Hat at the end of Hollywood Boulevard. And then just an update for you very quickly. The Sounds Like Summer Concert Series that's been going on, they have sort of incorporated this into Summer Nightastic. The concerts will be from Saturday, June the 12th to Saturday, July the 31st. And showtimes 5:45, 7 and 8:15. Staying Alive, tribute to the Bee Gees, 12th to the 19th of August. Hotel California, 20th to the 26th. Karen Lawson, which is a tribute to Janet Jackson, 27th to the 3rd of July. Satisfaction, the Rolling Stones tribute, 4th to the 10th of July. Slippery When Wet, which is Bon Jovi tribute, July 11th to the 17th. To You, which is U2 tribute, July 18th to the 24th. And Beginnings, which is a Chicago tribute band, is July the 25th to the 31st. So, seems to be a huge amount going on there.
Tons, isn't there? Sounds absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Craig,
I'm looking forward. The best bit in that, from what Adam's going on about, is the Tower of Terror, because it puts it back to how it originally was, when it was a scary ride. And I think I've said in the last few years, I think it's become more of a fun ride. It'd be nice for it to be a little bit more frightening again, a bit more of a thrill ride. So looking forward to that.
But do you not think the fact that the fifth dimension's gone ruins it a little bit?
It does. It does take a bit away, and I don't understand why they've done that. Maybe they're using the power for that, for the green light, and they haven't got enough batteries.
Interesting thought. I don't know. Well, let's head over to Juz and see what Juz has got going for us.
Well, if you're like me and you're a bit of a marathon runner,
you're a marathon eater.
Runner.
I presume my marathon is still 1K. I presume we're still working in imperial measurement of that. Next year, 2011, the Walt Disney World Marathon, you get a day at Walt Disney World for free. Runners who collect their finisher medals from the marathon on Sunday, January the 9th, 2011, or 2011 as the kids say, can bring them back to Disney next day and gain entrance at no charge into the Walt Disney theme park on Marathon Monday. My only concern with this is, do they take them off you and you're not allowed to have the medals back? Is it sort of like a swap scheme so they can reuse your medal? Yeah, why not? I think they deserve it. If you can actually do the marathon, good on you. If you can move the day after and actually get to a park, wow, look at you.
It's just quite cool because they're going to be able to wear those medals that following day, aren't they? And they're going to have the opportunity to go around and be congratulated by a lot of people, which is what a lot of people do on the day itself anyway. So it's quite nice to give, those who finish, you have to finish the marathon, but those who finish to have something a little bit extra, which is cool.
So I'll see everybody there as usual.
Yes, if you don't finish, tough. there you go. Right, heading into Magic Kingdom then. Craig, what you got for us?
Divorce and settlement agreement details have been released for Cinderella and Prince Charming. Okay, so as of the 1st of June, Cinderella's Golden Carousel has changed its name to Prince Charming's Regal Carousel. Now, this change doesn't seem too popular among some of the Disney fans, but this is the backstory that fits in with it. Following their fairy tale romance and happily ever after wedding, Cinderella and Prince Charming took up residence in Cinderella's castle. With peace throughout the kingdom, Prince Charming had time to practice for jousting tournaments.
Or jousting.
Yeah, whatever. In the countryside near the castle, he built a training device of carved horses on which he could practice the art of ring spearing. Ooh. A tournament event in which a knight rides his horse full speed, lance in hand, toward a small ring hanging from a tree limb with the object of spearing the ring. This event was known by various names throughout the lands, but generally came to be called Carousel. Now, the carousel drew attention from the villagers who wanted to take turn on this amazing spinning contraption. So Prince Charming had a second carousel constructed closer to the castle, where everyone could take a spin on this wondrous invention. Instead of a working knight's training device, however, this new carousel is more befitting of its regal location in the castle courtyard. Its rustic training horses replaced with ornately decorated prancing steeds adorned with golden helmets and shields, flower garlands, feathers, and other festoons. Prince Charming invites one and all to test the horsemanship skills and enjoy their own happy ending. So there you go.
You know what? I love the fact that Disney have all of these different stories. But this one is just so ridiculous, is it not?
I'm not saying a word. This is a family podcast. I'm keeping quiet.
I've seen your comment on Skype.
Oh, this is all silliness, if you ask me. Yeah, don't read out what you've been putting on Skype.
I don't see what the point of this is. Adam, why have they done this? Come on.
I don't know. I would guess it could be in preparation for the new Fantasyland Forest expansion. But it seems very, very early to do it. And it seems a really bizarre choice of character.
Yeah,
Prince Charming's Regal Carousel. Rubbish. I'm quite all for some changes, but I don't like this one at all.
So what don't you like? Don't you like it? In fact, it's Prince Charming. I say. Or is it the fact that the storyline's rubbish?
The storyline's just so ridiculously far-fetched, isn't it? Do you not think it's just silly?
As opposed to Small World. Yes, it's just stupid.
Well, I know that, but I just think this one's really silly. And I agree with all these people who don't like it.
So it's not the fact it's changed, you just think the storyline's a joke?
Yeah, I just think it's a bit of a joke, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, heading into Epcot then. We're going to go over to Epcot for some more details about the 2010 Food and Wine Festival, which is going to be running. It's celebrating its 15 years, October the 1st to November the 14th, where it's going to give you the opportunity to go around and taste all those wonderful delicacies from around the world. You take that 1.3-mile stroll around the 40-acre lagoon, where you're going to go to 25 international marketplaces for you to enjoy food, wine, beers and spirits from six different continents. This year, they're going to have loads of different stuff during the six-week festival, include two new tasting marketplaces. I think Craig mentioned this, was at the last time in Orlando, Belgium and South Korea. There are going to be new offerings on the popular returning marketplaces, including Singapore, Argentina, Chile, Poland, South Africa, Australia, USA, Spain, and a few others. Some celebrity chef appearances are going to be there. People like Warren Brown, Kat Cora, Todd English, plus a load of others. There's going to be this year, and I think this is really cool, a complimentary marketplace discovery passport that you can get stamped at each of the locations, so you know what you've eaten while you've been there, like a scrapbook almost of all the stuff that you've eaten. There'll be daily wine seminars, bottle signings, author events, and culinary demonstrations. There's going to be the Eat to the Beat concerts back. There'll be two brand new restaurants grand opening during the festival, Via Napoli in Italy and La Hacienda de San Angel in Mexico Pavilion. There's going to be the Festival Welcome Center with a wine bar. There's going to be 250 chefs, including Disney chefs, who are going to be creating all sorts of bits and pieces. And the new events that include the 3D Disney's Dessert Discovery and a festival preview night, First Bites opening reception on September 30th. 3D Disney Desserts Discovery sounds interesting. And then there'll be popular returning events, including the Celebrity Family and Friends in the Kitchen, Epcot Wine Schools, Mexico Tequila Tasting, and the Food and Wine Pairings. And the weekly Party with the Senses Grand Tasting event will be on as well, as well as the they've got the marathon on as well, which they're doing. So there's loads and loads of stuff going for the brand new Food and Wine Festival this year, 1st of October to the 14th of November.
I'm hungry now. I'm looking forward to United Korea, that new food place.
Yeah.
And Kat Cora is an awesome chef. And the reason I can say that is because she friended me on Facebook.
Did she?
Yes. A celebrity chef, and Kat Cora, who's Iron Chef. Yeah. Is brilliant. She friended me on Iron Orlando. So I'm chuffed.
I've got John Lasseter following me on Facebook now. How cool is that?
I've got Daily Disney. Are we going to start trying? My scar's bigger than yours. Yeah,
it's going to be Twitter.
Jaws. Call that a scar. Call that a Twitter. Look at this.
That would be cool. Twitter top trumps.
I'd love to. I think we need to sometime, all three of us, go there and eat Disney out. We could eat Disney out in one trip.
I think
if they're doing these passports, they need to do like a really thick one for us. You know, like the extra pages you can buy if you travel a lot. That's what I need. Standard passports. No, I need the fat version. Thank you very much.
You don't have to say anything. Look at it and go, extra large, sir.
Double X passport for me. Thank you.
Sir, you seem to have seven stamps on this one item. Yeah, it's fine. Just colour it in.
It's like Kid Cop.
Well, that's it. That's the only bit of Epcot news I've got for us this week. So shall we head over to Hollywood Studios? We've got a couple of pizzas, bits of new pizzas. Can't speak.
I really can't speak.
I'm so tired. A couple of pieces of news, starting with Juz.
Yeah, I want to talk about Who Cares School Musical, really. With the space for the mobile stage taken up by the stage for the Rock and Globe Party, High School Musical will also share the same stage. Yes, you're not getting rid of them. The show structure is unchanged, but the staging has altered due to a difference in space. The stage set now consists of a large High School Musical 3 banner and coloured flags. When's it going to run its course?
Yeah, I know. It's just getting a bit much now, isn't it? It's quite old. What was High School Musical 3? Was that two summers ago now?
Oh, it just flew by.
It's going to be a couple of summers ago now. You know, there's a lot of people who will probably have seen it. I wonder, because they talk about people going every couple of years. With it being a couple of years since this show came out, I wonder whether this may be its final swan song.
It should be Toy Story Musical 3.
But Toy Story Musical was rubbish.
Especially in High School Musical.
Yeah, true. I didn't like Toy Story the Musical at all. I didn't think it worked. So I don't really want to see that in the parks, because that won't be an addition that I'd enjoy.
We haven't spoken about Stitch for ages. Bring Stitch back.
Stitch, yeah, bring Stitch back. That'd be cool. Well, a Stitch's Supersonic Celebration can come to Hollywood Studios and try and last longer than 6 weeks.
Which would you prefer? I'll go for Stitch's Supersonic Celebration, and that was bad. I would.
Yeah. Anyway, before we get sued by the High School Musical people, we'll move on to Craig.
I like High School Musical.
Oh, you like Hannah Montana, though.
Oh, I do like Hannah Montana, yeah.
Do you know, can I just tell you, just before we went to a place called Twin Lakes last week, and in the gift shop, there was a big post on the wall that just said, Hannah Montana sold here. I was like, what? They're actually selling Hannah Montana? We went in, I was disappointed she wasn't there.
How much would you pay for it, though?
She'd probably been expensive.
I'd have thought so. Stella Artois, she is reassuringly expensive. New games have opened up at Toy Story Mania, which actually, I'm not sure this is true, because I had played my Toy Story Mania on my Wii today and they weren't on there.
There is a similar Dino one on there.
Oh, is there? Oh, I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
The new game is Rex and Trixie's Dino Darts, and it's now available for you to play. In the new game, riders shoot virtual darts at all new balloon targets in a dinosaur-inspired world filled with volcanoes and lava balloons. The new game replaces Bo Peep's Balloon Pop. Other changes. Ham and Eggs is now hosted by Ham and Buttercup, a toy unicorn with heart-shaped nostrils. Aww. In the prize scene, aww, Trixie, Buttercup, Dolly, which is the new doll, Mr. Prickly Pants, not Juz, Lich's wearing hedgehog, all from Toy Story 3, appear along with Woody and Jessie. Lotso now appears in the background of the practice round. And now at the end of the game, the scoreboard now shows a best in vehicle, best this hour, best today, and a best this month score. There you go. Ever changing, ever getting better.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, these new games, I wonder whether they'll get to the point where they just begin to rotate them all.
Yeah, just seems like new characters sell more stuff.
New characters, yeah. So it's interesting, this Buttercup character is so going to be aimed towards the girls, isn't it? Mr. Prickle Pants, Lederhosen wearing hedgehog, is obviously going to be related to the Germans. And you've got a new doll, no doubt that's going to be girls. So they've really covered a lot more girl-based toys in this one, do you not think?
Yeah, and Lotso's doing the rounds now, isn't he, in the meet and greet, isn't he?
Yes, definitely, yeah. With Lotso, the pink teddy bear. I quite like to go and see him. I think that'd be quite cool. Right, so let's head over to Animal Kingdom then, where the Good Time Gathering spot that had been appearing in Animal Kingdom that closed, I think it was towards the end of last year, has now come back for the summer. The Good Time Gathering spot appears in Camp Mini Mickey, and it's over in the old Pocahontas Theatre, where guests can enjoy meet and greets, they can enjoy storytelling with Pocahontas, there'll be a DJ, and there'll be much, much more going on there. The spot is going to be open from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m., and is going to run from the 13th of June until the 7th of August. I'm surprised they haven't included this in the Summer Nightastic program. Admittedly, it's not going to be at night, but I wonder whether they might have added this, what with them adding Animal Kingdom later opening hours. They might have added this in as well, but it's good to see that back. It's been very popular.
Yay, Pocahontas! And I remember the DJ in Pocahontas. He was great.
Okay.
Oh, you've seen that film then, have you, Jazz?
I like Pocahontas, and because our cat's called Miko, which is after the... Raccoon.
So your cat is named after a raccoon.
And the Pocahontas show used to have a life raccoon, didn't he, called Miko?
You did, yes.
Commander
it
Tree.
It was a great... I used to love that show.
I loved it.
It was a clever show.
Bring back Pocahontas.
Bring back Pocahontas. Okay.
And Miko.
Okay, that's fine. Well, they are doing.
No, they're not. They're just... Well, not like it used to be.
No, it's not the same.
No.
Not the same when we were kids.
No, it's different then.
Oh. Right, should we move on?
Yeah, is it my go or do you want
to go on your go. Go on, you have a go.
Okay. Rumours, this is Expedition Everest, by the way. Rumours are that the Yeti's finally getting the much needed bit of maintenance. Is that someone's chair going backwards there?
No, that was the train again. Remember from a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to be
saying
polite.
Hello.
It was either you or a train.
Yeti.
Yeah. People who have ridden the attraction in the last few days reported that a tarp now covers the Yeti, so guests can't see it. So it looks like there is a refurb happening there. Although in reality, I come from near Liverpool. If there's a tarp over something, the Yeti's been nicked. Someone should really go and check this. It just seems a bit off to me, putting a tarp over to do it. Do it out of hours and stuff. I want to do Exhibition Everest, and whether he's not moving or whatever, I want to see him. Not a piece of tarp.
They've tried to fix it in a different way in the past, haven't they? Where they've just tried to do it with it out in the open and done bits and pieces with it. And it may be that they've had to pull maybe the skin off it, or they've had to take parts of it off. And, you know, it may frighten some people to see a Yeti come towards them without a head.
I think it'd be better without the skin and just like a Terminator Yeti.
That'd be great.
The Overtakers have got him.
The Overtakers have got him, yeah, possibly. I don't know. I think it's good that they're at least showing that they're doing something about it, because they've tried to fix it, they've sort of fixed it, and then it broke again, and then they didn't bother, and it's finally going to be coming back.
Do it in winter or some point where you're not hitting your peak. Schools are out now stateside. You're starting to hit your major peak time. Why do it now? Duh.
Well, I suppose it's not going to be hitting the heights of summer, is it?
The kids are there now. Kids have broken up and started hitting it. This is their big peak time now, the Americans, then the UK lot. Do it sometime when it's quieter.
Maybe the Yeti was reluctant.
Well, the Yeti could just stand there and just waggle its fingers in sea mode. It could wave at you.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that's going to work. But hopefully that'll be fixed nice and soon. Which
no, you mean fixed by the time you get there.
Yeah, exactly. It's fixed by August.
I'm all right, Jack.
It should be fine. If it's fixed by August, I won't have any complaints whatsoever. Right, let's head onto our plane, fly over to Paris, and head over to Disneyland Paris, where Craig has got some nice news for us. What have we got, Craig?
Well, I'm on holiday too. If you're a shareholder, shareholder members would have the opportunity to visit Disneyland Paris Resort on the 11th of June. Woo-hoo. And take part in a shareholders club conference. Now, Adam received an email last week which read, "Dear Adam, please stop annoying us with emails."
Sorry. The restraining orders are quite clearly set.
We are not giving you any more free books. "Dear Shareholder Club member, we are pleased to invite you to the first Shareholders Club conference that will take place on the 11th of June at Disneyland Paris and will be presented by Katie Harris, Disneyland Paris show director. Now, the conference will present...
Katie?
Is that Katie Harris?
Katie.
We've got to stop giving him words from the English language, haven't we? Just can't cope with them.
Do you know, I was thinking of... do you know what? I had that chef in your head, in my head.
Cora.
Yes.
Cat Cora.
Chef. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, just his celebrity mates. I've got Gordon Ramsay following me now on Twitter book. after cheering for him last night in the football, it was better than watching Adam. The conference will... present the following theme: Behind the Disney New Generation Festival. You'll also have exclusive opportunity to experience for the first time or rediscover Captain EO, the classic attraction featuring the late great Mr. Michael Jackson, which returns to Disneyland in the Disneyland Park the very next day. Now, there's a program. It starts at 2:15, where you are welcomed, each shareholder club member. Previously registered for the event will go to the Donald Desk, which opens at 2:15. Donald Desk is located in the Disney Park entrance, blah, 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 blah. At 3 p.m., you will have access to the Captain EO attraction. 3:30, the conference will start, and then you'll be presented with the making of the Disney New Generation Festival. And hopefully she'll explain what it actually means. And then you've got, after the conference, the event will... be able to enjoy access to the Disneyland Park until it's closed. Is that only free then, Adam? Is that what they're saying?
I don't know. That's the only thing I didn't know when I looked at it, whether you would have to still buy your ticket or whether you get it as part of the shareholders deal. I'm not sure.
Adam would blag it somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Fine. I'll just run at the gates. They'll move. No comments, thank you. It's I looked at this and I thought, that sounds quite cool, but you don't really get a massive amount. You get the early access to a Captain EO, which is opening the following day. And then you get a 45-minute... Well, the conference will last approximately 30 to 45 minutes. So you don't really get much at all.
It's like a D23, isn't it?
And bearing how much it costs to get from the UK over to Disneyland Paris, it's not really worth the trip for me.
Woo!
I don't care. There we go. So that's a bit of shareholders news. If you didn't know that and you're a shareholder, you can go and find out more about that over the shareholders website. And the last bit of news really is just to say happy birthday to Space Mountain in Disneyland Paris. On the 31st of May, Space Mountain turned 15 years old. And to celebrate, Disneyland Paris went all out. They really did go all out, because what they did was posted a video on YouTube showing the grand opening of the 31st of May 1995. There we go. That's
happy,
all
happy birthday, Space Mountain.
Happy birthday, Space Mountain.
Yeah, happy birthday, Space Mountain. You're still rubbish.
It's better. No, it's not. It's brilliant, right?
No, it's fantastic.
It's an awesome. No,
hurts your head.
No, it was only because you got a fat head.
Yeah, fat head.
fat head. Okay. Still think it hurts your head, even if you didn't. Oh, my head. Whatever. Head's not fat.
It is.
No, it's just large. It's a size 8. Normal size head.
No. I thought you were one of those little nodding things when I first met you. I didn't realise you were actually Craig.
Shut up. That's why you cuddled me. Anyway, next.
Put you in the Churchill dog. Put you in the back of my car.
Penguins.
Well, there you go. That's all the news. So we're done, I think. That's everything. So, Jez, let's give us your usual hooray.
Woohoo.
Well, it is back. We have got it out of the closet and we've dusted it down. The Around the World in 80 segments. We haven't done one for a few episodes. What with us having mouse meets and with having special guests on the show and all those bits and pieces. So we got almost halfway round Magic Kingdom. We're heading back there out up to Fantasyland, of which Juz is going to be miserable for the whole thing because he just doesn't like it. And we're going to look at all of the different attractions, ride shows, parades and attractions for Fantasyland and give them our scores out of 10, etc., and talk about each one. So heading into Fantasyland then, guys, what are you laughing at?
I'm just thinking to myself, now, Jazz, you have to remember you're a little child and you're on holiday too.
No, I like Fantasyland. Yes. I don't like the people in Fantasyland.
Okay. What, the cast members?
Don't like the push trolley things that hit me.
Oh, the stroller people. Okay. Well, first off, let's talk about some of the amenities they have in there. So it's a cash machine under the archway that leads across to Frontierland, along with phones, toilets, and a smoking area. It's just outside of Fantasyland, I think it is. But there are some bits and pieces down there. Oh, are you playing that? I'm on holiday.
No, I'm not doing anything. No, I've just got it on the background.
Okay. Well, we're going to head into the rides then, and we're going to start off with Juz's favourite, which is It's a Small World. So, It's a Small World. Juz, what are your impressions of this ride?
I love It's a Small World. I think it epitomises Walt Disney. It's amazing. It's incredibly well-themed. I love it. After all.
Is it suitable for everyone?
It is suitable for absolutely everyone. Teens will pretend they don't like it, but really deep down, they know they do like it, but they can't show it. It is a definite big win for absolutely every single member of the family.
And it's about everybody from all around the world all being on holiday too.
It isn't. It's about all little people just singing and dancing and giraffes.
It's possibly... Do you not find, though, this has got one of those theme tunes of which it doesn't matter whether you've ever been to a Disney park or not, you know the theme tune.
It's just one moon and a golden sun.
Yeah, one moon and a golden sun, yeah.
The smile means, friendship to everyone, yeah.
It just seems weird.
I haven't noticed. Has it got a theme tune?
Yeah, just a bit. Craig, what's your opinion on this one?
Well, it's changed in the last kind of couple of months. One, by the rendition at Mount Meat by Chris and Steve.
It's a small world, laugh of ways. It's a world of hope and with fears.
Lives with me forever. Secondly, reading that the Kingdom Keepers won and the dolls attacking and the DHIs was quite interesting, put a different view in my head of it. But no, I do get, seriously, this is just a must do, beautifully wonderful ride. I love it to bits. It's got the song which goes through your head. It doesn't matter who I'm going with, everybody wants to go on it. Love it. Interesting fact, did you know the water is the original water from when it opened, and it was brought over
from different countries.
Yeah, and I tell people that who I go on, and they don't believe me, and it's absolutely true. I have to do pinky swears and everything.
Although in reality, it's probably some of it has evaporated anyway, so it's probably not the original water.
Yeah, okay, so. You don't have to be so scientific about it. We were trying to add the magic of Disney there, and you just kind of ruined the whole thing.
Well, I always had a bit of water when I'm there.
Because I think it's very important to have, like, a recognisable theme tune.
Do you know, can I just say what I'd like to really do is I'd like to wander around it, not on a boat, when there's nobody around. I think that'd be really interesting to sort of see how they all work and how it's all connected.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's all. That's all I wanted to say, sorry.
I think it's genuinely true what they say on the Jungle Cruise, that if you leave your children behind, they do take them to It's a Small World and super glue their feet to the floor. That's genuinely true, I'm pretty certain. So it's super for everybody. Babies, toddlers, tweens, your teens. You see, sometimes teens, I think maybe it's pushing it a little bit for them because it's not cool. But your 20s and your 40s, 40s plus certainly is fine. No fast pass on this one. To be honest, doesn't really need a fast pass because the queues move so quickly. I can't remember queuing more than 20 minutes for It's a Small World, even on a peak day. Anybody queued any longer?
Yeah, I think I've done it about 30 minutes once or twice.
All right,
maybe
okay.
22 minutes, maybe.
Oh, yeah, okay, that's fine.
It depends how many wheelchairs are there, let's be honest, because it does stop down and pick up again. So there's a lot of wheelchairs and people requiring special access. It does slow the ride down, and there's no problem with that. I'm quite happy to wait for that.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I actually didn't think of that. And talking about that, you must change from an ECV to a wheelchair to ride. You can ride in a wheelchair, have the specially designed boats. The one good thing about, though, the queue, even if you are queuing for a long time, is the fact it's undercover and it's got a bit of air conditioning in there, so it keeps you nice and cool. But as of August, they're actually closing the attraction for a few months for a refurb, and we don't really know what the outcome of that is going to be at present. We know that there's a possibility of them changing the entrance and the exit around to the opposite places, although people have rumoured that they are going to be adding Disney characters to the attraction. We don't know whether that is true or not, whether that's actually going to happen, so we'll see. We'll watch this space. Your score out of 5?
Ooh, do you know what, because of it is a classic and I think everyone has to do it, I'll be tempted to air up to the 5 side, simply because you've got to do it.
Okay, Craig?
Yeah, I think 4.5.
Yeah, you see, I think I'm going 4 on this one, just because I don't think it's not great for everybody. I used to hate this ride. I really didn't used to enjoy it at all. And I used to go on it because my dad loved it. We used to go on it 2 or 3 times in a row because he used to love this ride when we used to go when I was younger. And I got sick to death of it. But I've seen sort of a new charm in it as I got a little bit older and I quite like it. So I'm going to go for a 4, I think.
Have you told your dad that then and said you're sorry?
Hey, sorry?
Have you told your dad you're sorry and you really do appreciate the ride that he loved?
No.
I think we should do that live on the air.
Because my dad doesn't like Disney, apparently, but yet whenever he goes to a Disney theme park, you can't stop him from acting like a child. Right, Peter Pan's Flight then, which is opposite.
You never did any tips. You put on the script tips.
Oh, go on. What tips have we got? I thought we'd given all our tips out.
Well, I'd say one. This is probably the worst one for leaving, because it's going to be a ride you're probably going to take a little kid in a buggy or stroller. And I think this is probably the worst ride for cast members hiding your stroller somewhere else. Okay. You come out and it's never where you've left it.
That's true.
So just be warned. Don't think it's been stolen. It's just been moved.
It's been moved into a secret place. It's been taken away by the overtakers.
Exactly.
Right, let's go over to Peter Pan's Flight then. And Craig, start us off on Peter Pan's Flight.
Do you know what? This ride always has probably, I think, apart from Dumbo, one of the longest queues. And I absolutely love it. When you look at all of the kind of storybook rides, I suppose, in Fantasyland, you know, this and the other ones we'll come on to. This, I think, is probably 4 times as good as the rest of them. I just think it's lovely. I love the kind of scene over London. I think that's superb. I kind of love the way the ride vehicle works. So I think this is suitable for everyone. And I think it's always busy, which means that it's very, very popular and people love it. The fast passes go quite quickly as well. So, but I think when you compare this to all the other, I mean, that's probably why it's one with the fast pass out the other ride. I just think it's so much better than the rest of them. Although you say suitable for it. I remember taking Alex on this kind of when she was like 2. And she never called it Peter Pan. She called it Baddie Pan. And she was always quite scared to go on it. And I could never kind of work out why. But I don't want to go on Baddie Pan. But, I mean, now they love it. You know, it's not a problem. But, no, brilliant. Go on it every time.
Juz?
Yeah, I really like it. I think, reiterate what Craig said, hate the queuing system. It's a fake queue, so it looks like it's shorter than it really is. But you actually start looping on yourself and it's hidden a bit. And can I just say, this is one of these rides that I hate and detest people who take flash photography, because it ruins the whole scene completely, yet people never stop doing it.
I completely agree with you on that. Those people with the cameras, you just, yeah, it's like, come on, if you take a flash photography, it's not going to look as good as it would have been, you know, if you just looked at it. It's going to have that flash, it's going to ruin all the colours, that sort of stuff, which isn't as good. But I might be a little bit controversial here. I like Peter Pan's Flight. I really enjoy it. It's one of those attractions that I'll go on. I won't queue for it because I don't think it's worth queuing for that long for. But I struggle, although I really enjoy it, I really struggle to work out why I enjoy it. Because if you actually look at the basics of what that ride is, it's not that good. It's just a simple dark ride. Yes, you get in a boat and you fly through the streets of London. Yes, the streets below is quite clever. But once you've been through that, been flying over that streets of London, you then end up in a lot of scenes that are just very, very basic. They're not particularly difficult. They are from the Peter Pan stories. You know, they move an arm or they rock backwards and forwards or whatever. But there's nothing overly special about the attraction. That doesn't mean that I don't like it. I love it. But it just, I don't know what it is about it that makes people so captivated.
I think it's the London scene. I think that's so breathtaking. That's
yeah.
One that I love.
It's like E.T. over at Universal. Is that again, it's very basic, but there's a couple of scenes there, like flying over, that's brilliant, that for some reason sticks with you more than others. So
yeah.
And that's popular, and as you quite right say, that's dated as well. So I understand what you're saying, but I do agree probably, Craig, it's the London scene that really does it for me more than anything else.
And apparently if you stand on the floor next to the clock tower, you just see just how skew-iff it is.
Oh, right.
It's apparently really, really weird, the way it works. And
can we just say, do not jump down and try and look at that?
Yeah, don't try to sort of get a rope out and climb down. That won't, you're likely to get deported from the US, let alone from the actual park itself. But what are we going for then? So we decided 40s, 20s to 40s is good. Teens, okay. Tweens, fine. Toddlers, yes. Babies, we're talking about the 20-year-olds. Are we saying...
Are we saying
the 2-year-olds, not the 20-year-olds? I mean,
yeah.
The 2-year-olds. Are we saying they are what could be scared by it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, apparently so.
And Craig's just sent a link through of a photo he took on Peter Pan where he used the flash.
But what did I say at the beginning? Oops, sorry. It was a good photo. It's a good photo, Peter Pan.
It just shows. Yeah. It's well. Yeah. Oh, there's another one there, and there seems to be quite a few photos that Craig has taken on Peter Pan with flash.
I hate that. I really hate people who do that.
Yeah, it's rubbish. Yeah,
I don't have to take any.
But you've ruined it for the people ahead of you.
And I think they should be boycotted from any Disney community. I'm going to go and ban him from our forum right now. what are we giving it out of 5?
5. Just because it's great for photos.
Yeah. I'm going to go a 3. I've done it and I can miss it, but I understand the appreciation of it. But I'm going to have to go for a 3, I'm afraid.
So you panned it. Hey! I'm going 3.5. I think on that one. It does have fast passes, we've already said. The fast passes do go very, very quickly. So make sure you get those. Otherwise, you're going to be waiting a long time to get on the attraction. You must be able to walk sufficiently to ride the attraction. The access isn't as good for this attraction. But it does use handheld captioning and audio description as well. Any other tips or anything else for Peter Pan before we move on?
My only concern is the fact that if it ever breaks down in there and you have to get lifted down, it's an 8-foot drop. So do bear that in mind. If you're going on, you know, and you have a wheelchair, etc., that you know they will have to get the ride working again before you can get out.
Yes, that's true. Right, Snow White's Scary Adventure then. Who is Snow White's Scary Adventure suitable for, Juz?
Do you know what? This is quite scary in parts, so I'd be really careful with the little ones.
Yeah.
Teens, they're not going to love this. 20s to 40s, yeah, they'll probably enjoy it, especially a couple. 40 plus, yeah. We enjoy anything, because we're not really sure what's going on in our world. Little ones, it is quite a little scary in parts, this, to be honest with you. So, you know your children best, snuggle up next to you and let them go round.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thoughts on those age groups.
Well, it was quite interesting when the attraction first opened, because when it opened back in the 70s, it was known as Snow White's Adventure.
Mm.
And it was deemed so scary. There were so many people who went and complained about how scary it was for their small children. Disney had to go and put the word scary into the title to give them sort of forewarning about what the attraction was about. Craig, did you take Alex on this when she was 2?
No, I didn't, because I don't like this ride. This kind of, it just seems to be a bit of a mess up by them. You know, you design a ride aimed at, you know, preschoolers, because that's what Snow White is aimed at, but then you make it so scary that they hate it and they don't want to go on it again. So kind of defeats the object. It should be nice and fluffy and cuddly, and it's just not, and they just didn't enjoy it. So I can't remember the last time we went on it, to be honest with you. It's just a non-event in our house.
All right, so you don't do it then?
No,
you don't do it. You don't do it at all. No. I haven't taken Harry on this yet because of the scary nature, and I don't know whether he'd be old enough to be able to cope with it yet. So I'm saying babies and toddlers, you have to be wary of. Tweens will be fine. Teens are fine. 20 to 40s and 40s plus, no problems whatsoever. Now, my thing about this, as you said, I never bothered with this ride too much. I went on it every now and again, but I hadn't watched Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs for a good period of time, and I didn't. I think I missed the appreciation of it. And we saw Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs at Mouse Meets, and since watching that and looking at the attraction, I've sort of got a newfound appreciation for it, for how closely it fits with the film itself. But interestingly, up until recently, you never saw Snow White in the ride. Up to an update a few years back. Does anybody know why?
For licensing reasons, and she was busy doing book tours.
No. She was scared.
She was too scared, yeah.
You were supposed to be Snow White. Same with Peter Pan. You never used to see Peter Pan. You were supposed to be the characters going through the story. So they didn't have them in. They didn't put them in there at all. And you were supposed to experience it if you were those characters. But Disney never explained that to anybody. And people would come off Peter Pan and Snow White and say and complain that they didn't see Peter Pan or Snow White. What was going on? That's not fair. So they had to put those characters in to appease people, I suppose. What are we going for score-wise out of 5? Craig?
Two.
Two? Juz?
Yeah.
I'm going for a 3.
I'm going to go 3.5 because of my new fan admiration for it. No fast pass on this one again. Must transfer from a wheelchair. Handheld captioning, audio description are also available. Any other things you want to say about Snow White's scary adventure before we move on?
Yeah, the vehicles aren't really designed well for tall, fat people like myself. they're designed for small people. It is an incredibly cramped vehicle, and I think the vehicle's used elsewhere as well in Fantasyland, and it's cramped again there. So that's my only thing, is the fact that the vehicles are really cramped for fat,
okay,
tall people.
Craig?
No, nothing else.
Okay, let's move on then. He sounds bored already. Let's move on to Prince Charming's.
No, not bored. We're okay. Going to now Prince Charming's Regal Carousel.
We're
going
to
get
to Prince Charming's Regal Carousel. We are so cutting edge and up to date. We've even got his new name, the Prince Charming Regal Carousel. Go on, Craig. Start us off.
You know what? This is a lovely ride. I like this. I preferred it when Cinderella was in charge, to be honest. I think, you know, it was cleaner when the woman was in charge. No, do you know what? I have lovely memories of this, because when Year of a Million Dreams, Alex was asked to ride this with Mary Poppins. So Mary Poppins took her to the front of the queue and they rode round on their own together, which I always remember. So, no, I love this one. I don't see any reason why anyone wouldn't like this ride, to be honest with you. I think it's for everyone. Much better than the kind of mini version down at Downtown Disney, which I would never pay for. So, yeah, definitely do it.
Okay, well, I'm just about to completely upset you. Why wouldn't anybody love this? This doesn't bother me in the slightest, this ride. I'm just not really interested in it. It's just a basic bog-standard carousel. I understand it has a lot of history with where it came from, but it doesn't interest me at all. You know, I can go on something similar to this at a local theme park, and I don't see the point in queuing long time for it, to be honest. It's nice, it's big, it's clever, but the way they themed it, well, it used to be clever the way they themed it, and it doesn't bother me in the slightest. Juz?
You can go on a train anywhere, but you love the Disney Railroad because of its history.
Yes, but the Disney Railroad goes through something a little bit different to what you would normally get. So you would get that commentary that goes with it. You get the scenery that you get around Disney Park, whereas the carousel doesn't really do it for me.
Let's go to somebody with some sense, Jazz.
I love this for the history of it and how it's maintained. Other than that, to me, it's just a carousel. My kids love it. Never mattered, cute. They go on it. They enjoy it. The little ones do. But to me, I'm with Adam. I like it solely for the history aspect of it and the story behind itself.
He doesn't even like it for that, I don't think.
No, he does.
No, I do appreciate the history of it.
Yeah, it's nothing more. It's the history that does it for me. Which is not really what we're being asked for here. So if I was going to say someone who wants to go on it, I'd go, you know, yeah, babies, toddlers would love it. Perhaps tweens to go with the brother and sister because it's a carousel like they would at any place.
But I don't think you'll find a better carousel anywhere.
Well, there were several made of that time, so they are around the States, aren't they? I think Southport's got a fantastic carousel, an old world carousel on its front. So, but yeah, every kid loves a carousel. There's nothing more nice than a baby going round and then thrown up at the end of it. It's too short as well, to be honest.
What are you going for then, Craig, out of five?
I'm going to give it 4, and you two are miserable.
Juz?
If I was somebody who had a baby or a toddler, I'd give it a higher mark, but I'm going to go in for a... Oh, I don't know, because it's got to be there, because I love it being there. I'm going to go for 3.
I'm going to go for a 2, unless I was a big Prince Charming fan. He was my favourite character, which he's not. It got higher. So I'm going to go for 2 for me on that one, which might sound harsh, but that's what I'm going for. Dumbo the Flying Elephant, then. The one that's there at the moment, not the double one that's going to be coming. What are we going for, then? Let's start with Craig. Dumbo the Flying Elephant.
Yes, it's all right. I was having this conversation with the kids the other day when they were singing One Fish, Two Fish, Up, Up, Up. And I actually think that's a better ride. Again, it's one of those where you're going to have a disagreement over those that are great big history buffs and love all of those sorts of things about it. It's a good ride for kids. It's a good ride for babies. It's always very popular. But, you know, it's just a round and round, up and down ride that you get at any fairground, Adam.
Okay. Juz.
Yeah, you can go to any fairground and do it. It's themed a bit. Never interested me. Never really interested the kids. Long queue. Yeah, and it's just a standard fairground ride, so yeah.
I've got to admit, I never did this ride until I had children myself. So it's only really in the past 3 years that I've begun to experience Dumbo as an attraction. And yes, it is a ride that can be found anywhere in the world, but what it does allow is some great views for when you're up there. Okay, it doesn't go extremely high, it doesn't go fantastically high, but you watch the real Disney geeks queuing now for Dumbo the Flying Elephant, because when they get right up at the very top, they'll be able to get photos of the Fantasyland expansion. But it's one that I can appreciate from a child's point of view now, rather than from an adult's point of view. You know, it's great for babies, it's great for toddlers, tweens it's all right, teens probably aren't going to be bothered, 20s to 40s and 40s plus aren't going to be that bothered as well. It does seem to be, though, during Extra Magic Hours, the one place, the one most likely place you will get to ride an attraction with Disney characters. From what I understand, during Extra Magic Hours in the Magic Kingdom, towards the end of the evening, quite often Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Pluto, etc. will come out into Fantasyland and interact with people, and have been known quite regularly to jump on Dumbo the Flying Elephant with guests, and there's been quite a few photos about of people doing that with them. So that's something you might want to consider if you're thinking about going out there. But the theme's nice. The ride is not particularly long. Admittedly, the queues get very, very long for what the ride is, and that has its sort of downsides to it, and hopefully that will be fixed when they put the new one into the Fantasyland expansion. But it's got no fast pass. You need to transfer from a wheelchair. But out of 5, Judge, you're giving it.
Do you know, I'm going to give this 2, and that's mainly because the fact that, as you say, there's queues there, and it's smack bang into the middle of the heat, and it's a very hot area. So,
yeah.
No, 2.
Craig?
2. Actually, 1.5. No, 2.
1.5, 2. I'm going to give it a 3 because of, A, the fact that Harry really enjoys it, and also it's a bit of Disneyland Paris in Walt Disney World. I quite like that fact as well, because it should have gone to Disneyland Paris, and they stole it. Did you know that?
Literally stole it.
Well, they were building it for Disneyland Paris, and they wanted a new Dumbo attraction or a new version of it in Walt Disney World, and Disney World needed it before Disneyland Paris needed it. So they said, okay, we'll have that. You can build a new one. And they stuck it in Walt Disney World. And you'll notice that there's a reservoir area underneath the actual boats itself, which could be filled up with water, but they don't fill it up with water. And do you know why?
Because of health and safety.
Because it's directly above a utilidor. and they're not able to do it safely. So that's why. So it's a bit of Disneyland Paris in Walt Disney World. There goes a bit of info you didn't know. I am full of rubbish, I know.
Is it in your book?
Is it what? In my book? I think it might be, actually, yeah.
I'll check.
Go check. You check while I move on to the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh. So while Jussie's doing some leafing through the book, Craig, let's have your opinion on the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh.
Now, Pooh Bear is a very loved character, and I can understand why, because I think he's very cuddly and cute and adorable, and the kids both have different poos. And this, to me, should really be what Snow White should have been. You know, it's just a nice ride round honey pots and all the rest of it. I think kids absolutely love it, toddlers and all sorts. So it's not something that I would go on my own if I was there, but if you have children, they will drag you kicking and screaming to go on this, and I would suggest you take them on there rather than doing Snow White.
So you like Pooh?
I like Pooh. I like Pooh Bear as a character. I think he's cool. I like Pooh's playful spot, or I liked it as well. I know you didn't, brilliant. But I did.
And we've got a soundbite of Craig saying, "I love Pooh," which is brilliant.
I love Pooh.
So you like riding on Pooh. Many Adventures to Winnie the Pooh for me. This is one of those rides when they put it in, because they got rid of an absolute classic when they did it. It was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride that left, and I was really sad to see that go. But Many Adventures to Winnie the Pooh was a really great surprise, because it's not just the dark ride where you go through and you look at the scenes. It's got some really nice effects that added to it. You know, it's got the rain effect that they have. It's got the point where you go through the heffalumps and it blows that ring of smoke towards you. You've got the fact that the carriages can move. They bob up and down. They can jump. They can act as if they are the different characters from the Winnie the Pooh series, which is really, really nice. It's suitable for pretty much everybody. I think everybody will enjoy this in one way or another. And I love the way they've themed the whole ride so that it fits into this idea of a storybook. And the other thing I really like about it is the fact that they've put a couple of nods into the old ride, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. So you've got one point where I think Mr. Toad is handing over the deeds for the attraction building to, I think it's Owl, if I remember rightly. And there's another photo of Mr. Toad in there as well, which is cool, because that sort of nods back to that as well. It does have Fast Pass. It's well worth getting hold of a Fast Pass as well, because the queues can build up. You must transfer from ECV to a wheelchair, and there are handheld captioning and audio descriptions for these attractions. Juz, what's your opinion on Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh?
I love Tigger, so therefore I love Pooh. It's great. And I think it's really sad that there's a foreclosure there where Mr. Toad has to hand his deeds over, or he gets kneecapped by Mr. Owl. And by the way, your book does cover all what you said before as well.
Oh, right, okay. So what are we giving it out of 5 then? Craig?
4.
Juz?
I'm going to go 4 as well.
I'm going to give it 4.5. I'm going to be kind, because I really quite like it. And I like the fact that they're now doing the front of the attraction up. We've got the old tree from Pooh's Playful Spot that's now outside the attraction. And hopefully the whole of the front is going to become a small 100-acre wood, which will be cool to see. Heading the other side of the pathway, the Mad Tea Party. Go on then, Craig. Start us off on the Mad Tea Party.
See, again, this is a kind of standard fairground ride, but I just think it fits so well. You know, Alice in Wonderland, Tea Party, all that. You're in a teacup. You can have absolute great fun with the kids. The only thing I don't like about this is there's no kind of real sense of the cast member being that bothered the way they let people on. There's a big mad rush for the cups, and sometimes, you know, they don't say it's 3-4 to a cup or whatever, and you could kind of go on, and you know, the girls want the pink ones, boys don't want the pink one, and there's just always a little bit of a fight for the cups. I'd rather they did that a little bit better, but and it is a standard fairground ride, but you know, we go on it like it. I know you can do it anywhere, but it just quite seems quite cool to be in Fantasyland playing with a teacup.
Okay, Juz.
Yeah, I like it. I think, as you say, you can go anywhere. It's a great theme ride. It's a great ride itself. I think I totally agree with Craig. I don't like the way people let people on. Sometimes you get a family of 4 or whatever, we're suddenly split into 2 cups, and they're actually taking up more cups than people coming on. So you always get up someone who's having to walk back to the entrance because someone's stolen more cups than there is. They just need to get the handle on that. But yeah, I love it. Good, faithful.
Handle on the cup. Oh, look at that. Hey, the humour we use and we don't even realise. It's an interesting ride. It's okay. I wouldn't say that it's the sort of ride that I would go on every single time, but I enjoy it. But most of the time when I go on this attraction, I always end up on the car where the people want to spin it really, really fast, and I just end up coming off feeling a bit sick. It's good for pretty much everybody, to be honest. Babies, toddlers, tweens, teens. The good thing is, if you're going with babies and toddlers, you can spin it a little bit, and that's quite nice, and they quite enjoy that. The tweens, you can let them spin it themselves, and the teens, quite frankly, go for the how fast can I spin it until I make myself sick. And then if you get the teens going on with the 40 pluses, it's even funny because it's the teens saying, how fast can I spin it to make the 40 pluses sick, which is always quite entertaining. What the one thing I like about this is the little addition that they put outside the attraction, which is the sign for Randy Pausch. I forget what it actually says on it now. There's a really nice little sign out the front there for Randy Pausch. Someone have a look at that while we're just quickly talking about this.
He is a god, by the way, Randy Pausch.
Sorry?
He's a god, and everyone should read the last lecture book if you want.
Yeah, the last lecture book. When he died a few years ago, they added a new sign outside the front, which was for Randy Pausch. I forget off the top of my head what it said, but I think Juz should hopefully be able to find it in a second. What are we giving this out of five then? Craig?
I'll give it 3.5.
You give it 3.5? Juz? Yeah.
I'm going the same, 3.5.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with you on that one and go 3.5 as well. That sounds good to me. So 3.5 all round. The Randy Pausch thing, I think I managed to find it, says... Oh, hang on a second. It's on its way. And I shall tell you exactly what it says. Did you manage to find it?
No. I got sidetracked.
You don't know what?
I wasn't looking.
You weren't looking. Be good at something, it makes you valuable. Have something to bring to the table. Because that will make you more welcome. There we go. That's exactly what he said. I think is that a quote from the last lecture?
It is a quote from the last lecture, yes.
Okay, right, let's head on then. We're going to go to... Oh, yeah, just forgot to say about Madhouse Tea Party. No fast pass, must transfer from a wheelchair. Right, they're all the attractions, or the rides that we have in Fantasyland. We're going to head on to the two shows that we've got. And we'll start off with... the smallest of the two, which is the Fairy Tale Garden Story Time with Belle. Have either of you done this?
Yes.
Okay, Craig.
No.
Craig's the only one that's done this because I haven't done this either. So, Craig, tell us all about it.
Okay, so you go to the right-hand side of the castle as you're on Main Street. You walk around to the right-hand side.
Indeed.
And you go into the little gardens, and there's a nice little kind of curved brick walls that you sit down, and I don't know how many times she comes out, but Belle comes out with a lovely book that says Storytime with Belle written on it. And she sits down and she reads part of Beauty of the Beast, and she gets kids up from the audience to play different parts. So it's a bit interactive. It lasts for probably about half an hour. Gets quite busy because, you know, you've got the standard people that don't let kids go to the front, the people that really annoy me in Disney World that are kind of pushed around, where normally all the little kids can go and sit around the front. There's a little bit around the side they can all sit. All the parents can just sit at the back. You can see your kids because you're in an enclosed area. There's no need to kind of be sitting right with them and let them enjoy the story. So it's really, really nice, actually. If you've got people that like, you know, to see a Disney character and kind of like stories and reading and stuff, there's no reason why. Mine still do it. Alex is 8 now, and she still likes doing it. I think she's given up trying to be picked, but no, I think it's really nice.
Who's it suitable for?
It's probably suitable for people with kids. I wouldn't have thought you would have gone, maybe honeymoon couples might kind of go because they like to do all their kind of kiddie things as well, because they're feeling quite young and youthful. But I would have thought it's fair if you've got children to take your children along to it. So I wouldn't have thought it was kind of tweens.
Okay.
And teens. So it's those with children. Avec children, enfants.
Okay, it doesn't have fast pass, but sign language performances are on specific performances on Monday and on Thursday. What are you giving it out of five, Craig?
You know, for an entertainment thing, if you've got kids, I think it's a good 4.
Okay. Is it likely to survive after the Fantasyland expansion, do you think?
It's very popular. I mean, you know, we went a couple of times, we've gone and we've missed like a show, couldn't get in, had to go back again. So, yeah, I'd like to think so, because it's something different. You know, there isn't anything else like this in there where you can get that close up to a character. And I suppose you've got Jedi training is probably the only thing that's very similar to it, isn't it, over at Disney Hollywood Studios?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think I should hope it would, because I think it adds quite a bit to the park. Actually, it's a good experience.
Is it? Do you think they're likely to move it into the new Fantasyland Forest area, or is it going to stay where it is?
I think they probably would move it, maybe just to a slightly bigger area. I mean, it's quite nice where it is, though, because you are sitting in the castle kind of gardens, having a story read to you by a princess who's just visiting, because it's not her castle, is it? Because she hasn't got one.
Okay.
Maybe they should change it and do a different story. Maybe they should have it with, you know, Cinderella story or something.
Right. Okay, cool. Right, let's head on to our final one then, our final show, which is in the smack bang in the middle of Fantasyland, and it is Mickey's Filler Magic. Juz, why don't you start us off?
What can I say? This is probably the most amazing show in the whole of Walt Disney World, if not the world. It is truly breathtaking. It covers with Donald messing around with Mickey, but every single animated film there is on there. And the screen changes and you don't even realise it. I just can't say enough great things about this. It is, you need to go and see it to come out of it, and just you will just go, wow. You know, I'd love to go and watch this every single day. It would do me. Fantastic theatre, fantastic show. And I don't think there's a single person in that group that wouldn't love it, from babies to 40 plus.
Okay, cool. Craig?
I completely agree with Jazz, actually. It's one of the... It's a couple of things. Kieran's favourite character is Donald, and there's, you know, it's themed Donald. It's, although Mickey's Filler Magic, it's all Donald merchandise afterwards that you could buy. He's got pitch frame and stuff. But it's just brilliant. It's just done so well. The songs are great. I love, you're right, Jazz, the way they're kind of, you know, on the Lion King sing, the screen changes. I can't actually think of anything bad to say about it. I think they've used all the best songs in it.
Yeah.
I think the effects in it are wonderful. It's very, very cool in there, and it gets very hot, obviously. So yeah, it's something. Do you know what? I don't think I have been to the Magic Kingdom and not been and seen this. I think it's one of those kind of we do every single time.
Okay. Good stuff. Myself.
Are you yawning?
Sorry,
there?
I was also
yawning
for Kip, right, as well, Adam.
I was just yawning. Sorry. I think this is an absolutely fantastic attraction. It's such a good show. Again, it's one of those things that I think if I go to the Magic Kingdom, I always go to. And it's really suitable for everybody because it has the nostalgia of the older characters. It also has the newer characters in there as well. It's not particularly scary. It's something that kids enjoy. It's something that adults enjoy as well. But it's also got lots of really nice touches to it as well. You know, one of the things I really like about the queue is that you've got all of those posters up for the different... Yeah. Different films and fake films that are up there. You've got the whole storyline that runs through it, this idea of it being this concert hall and you're going in to watch this concert. You've got your opera glasses and stuff on. You've got the special effects, the effect of the sort of archway, proscenium arch of the theatre disappearing up and it becoming that entire screen. You've got this intelligent lighting system, which is it's about the only intelligent lighting system outside, I think, Tokyo, where it works along with the film and projection, the sound and all that sort of stuff. So it all works independently without anybody needing to control it whatsoever. You've got the Donald Duck animatronic towards the end as well. You've got also all the merchandise afterwards at Link. So you've got Donald's backside in the theatre and you've got the front of Donald coming out into the gift shop as well, which I think is really, really clever as well. And it's just the whole story, just how it's very cleverly interwoven. It's the first time that they took Disney characters and created CG versions of them. The fact that they used nearly all of the original voices from the different films. So they brought Jodie Benson back to do Little Mermaid, etc. There's only a few that they couldn't do that for, such as Peter Pan. But the other great thing was Donald Duck. You were saying, Craig, how much Kieran loves Donald Duck. Is the fact that they got Clarence Ducky Nash, and obviously he died in, I think it was 85, rather than him, they took all the sound clips of different things he'd done for Donald and they put them in. So they are all Clarence Nash, every single one that he does, which is always fantastic to hear as well. But it's just such a great show, a well-rounded show. It's, you know, one of the very few times where you found them take bits of different films and they fit together really, really well. And just a great overall attraction for me. I absolutely love it. You don't get Fast Pass for this one. Sign language. No, sorry, I'm on the wrong one. I'm looking at the wrong one. You do get Fast Pass for this one. Sorry, I'm completely looking at the wrong thing. It's wheelchair accessible, assistive listening, reflective captioning, and audio description as well. Fast Pass doesn't always work all of the time, but it is available. What are you giving it out of 5, Juz?
If I could give it more, I would, but I'm going for 5.
Yeah, Craig?
I'm going to give it 5 if I could more, because I still don't get tired of seeing my kids and other kids reaching out, trying to touch things in 3D. I just love it. I just think there's nothing there, but they still do it because it's so real, and I just love that. So, yeah, 5+.
I'm going to give it 5, and if I'm going to really picky, though, I really wish that the entire screen was 3D, because you get the main part of the screen 3D, and the bits on either side as it expands aren't. If I'm going to really picky, I'd love them to put that in, but I'm still going to give it 5 out of 5 for that, shadow of a doubt, because it's just a fantastic attraction. Right, there you go. That's all the rides, the shows, and the attractions from Fantasyland. Has anybody got anything they want to add?
No. Bye, Fantasyland.
Okay, that's it then. Nobody wants to know anything about Fantasyland. There we go. We'll leave behind the ride show's attraction in Fantasyland. On the next edition of the show, we are going to be looking at the dining and the shopping in Fantasyland. Right, see you guys.
See ya.
Later.
Attraction Tickets Direct is the UK's number one ticket provider for Disney, Universal, and the worlds of Discovery Parks. They offer unbeatable prices and expert advice on all the major tickets and attractions in Orlando, California, and Paris. The service Attraction Tickets Direct provides is second to none. Lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive real tickets, not vouchers, within 7 days. And there are no hidden extras, such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. Now that's what you call great service. Log on to www.attractionticketsdirect.com or call free on 0800-975-0002. Flexible. Simple. Value, secure, honest, and trusted. They are some of the words that people think of when they book their Orlando holiday. And they are exactly the same words that people associate with CompleteOrlando.co.uk. With staff available 7 days a week, there are no better people to use. Contact the Orlando experts on 0800-294-8844. Or visit www.CompleteOrlando.co.uk.
Well, that rounds up episode 43 of the podcast. Once again, thank you for joining us, and thanks to our sponsors, Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. Thanks to Juz and to Craig for joining me as always, and a special thank you this week to Simon Price for writing that fantastic new theme tune that you're going to be hearing on the podcast in the future. Make sure to email us your questions, comments and suggestions. You can email us at podcast@disneybrit.com. You can also ring our voicemail 0121-288-2858 in the UK and Europe, and if you're in the US it's 407-545-7980. Make sure to check out our website, www.disneybrit.com. We also got a brand new page over there, which we have our live chats on when we do those once a month. Check out our Facebook page and our Disney Brit fan page. And you can still friend up myself, Juz, and Craig over on Facebook, so please come and do that. Thanks to those people who have left reviews on iTunes. They really are greatly appreciated. So please continue to leave your reviews on iTunes. And also check out our YouTube channel, Disney Brit Podcast, over there on YouTube. Don't forget to check out our sister podcast at Ion Orlando, and you can hear them all about Orlando as well as Disney, all that sort of stuff that goes on there. And also our forum. Come over and join us on our forum, disneybrit.com/forum. Numbers are growing week on week, and we're really having some great fun over there. And really, that's it. So that leaves me with nothing else to say other than to tell you that the next show will be on Wednesday, the 23rd of June. And that leaves me to say, Until then, I'll see you.
Poo.